Amen. Thank you, young man. Appreciate that. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. Picking up once again tonight, dealing with some of the Catholic beliefs and doctrines that would help us, and has been rightly prayed there that the Catholic Church really is the mother of all cults. That's exactly the truth right there. Isaiah chapter 8, and shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would give us wisdom and understanding and recollection, Lord, when we talk to these folks. We want to see them saved. And we know, Father, that the devil has a flavor of religion for every different conceivable idea, anything to keep people out of heaven. And Lord, I pray that you'd rebuke the devil and his angels. I pray that they would not be allowed to blind the minds of these which believe not. We pray that the glorious light of the gospel would shine in unto these folks who are mixed up in the Catholic religion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. There's two key matters here mentioned. Law and testimony, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. As we sang, it's amazing how the Lord brings all these songs together. Brother Jim asked for favorites tonight, and the last favorite that was sang in times like these, that one verse, in times like these, you need the Bible. And that's exactly what we need, the Bible, and to refer to the Bible. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. To the law, to that which is written down. Every group has their law, per se. Every religious group has their religious writings. The Mormons claim the Bible, but also the Book of Mormon, the Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants. The Jehovah's Witnesses have retranslated the Bible to fit their false doctrine. What we're going to see what the Catholics have tonight is they have the Bible, but they also have their modern translations, but they also have oral tradition. We're going to look much at that tonight, but to the law, that which is written down, and to the testimony. So in many ways, the Catholics are like the Charismatics, and I don't know if you realize it or not, but in all these large Charismatic gatherings, the Catholic Church is very present. Brother Cloud has been to some of those with press credentials. And he said about half of the speakers in many of these charismatic conventions, about half of the speakers are Catholics. Once he's attended, they'll have Catholic Mass every morning. So, and we're going to see a clue as to why Charismatics blend so well in the Catholic Church. But to the law and to the testimony. Listen, if a religious group can give a testimony and that's against the Bible but still have weight, it's like we talked this morning. We're in the days of the judges. Every man can do that which is right in his own eyes. If you forsake the Bible, if it just goes by our testimonies, the Mormons tried to pull that on me this last summer when they would visit. And each time, they'd say, well, I know this is true because of what I've experienced. Well, then everyone can have their own religion. I talked to a person years ago out east of Greenville that she saw three crosses alongside the road one time, and that proved to her what she believed. What does that prove? Well, we're going to see some scripture tonight. There's something more sure than visions and words or whatever. So, if a group has something that is written down that disagrees with the Bible, they're a cult, plain and simple. You know, sometimes people say, well, a cult is only a group that doesn't believe in the Trinity. Well, guess what? The devil believes in the Trinity and he's going to hell. There's a lot of people that claim to believe in the Trinity. The demons, we're told, believe in God, but they're not going to heaven. There's a lot of people not going to heaven. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, there's a whole host of people that you could say believe in the Trinity. So my friends, don't say, well, the only cults are those that don't believe in the Trinity. That's really why a lot of people say, well, the Catholic Church isn't a cult because they believe in the Trinity. Well, you can believe in the Trinity and go to hell. In my book, any group that's teaching a false way of salvation is a cult. They're leading people to hell. As Jesus said, twofold more the child of hell than they themselves. But Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So don't be disarmed by people that say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in the Lord. Well, you can see right here, a lot of them, it says many, verse 22, many of them are going to hell because they're not truly born again. They're not saved. So to the law and to the testimony, it doesn't matter what they've experienced. It's what the Bible says is what is important. Okay, so number one, if you're taking notes in this, the Catholic Church does not believe that the Bible is the final authority. The Catholic Church does not believe that the Bible is the final authority. And these, the notes I'm giving you tonight come from the Vatican II papers. So in Vatican II, you know, the Catholic Church got together and kind of reaffirmed certain things. And some people believe, well, the Catholic Church is okay now. They encourage their people to read the Bible. Well, you know what? It's like, you know, we heard one of our missionaries, one of his loved ones died, and he had the chance in a Catholic church to give the gospel. Well, if one of my loved ones died, and if for some reason it was going to be held in a Catholic church, the funeral, and if I had the chance to speak, I'd sure need a lot of time. Because I'd have to I would have to define correctly a lot of words because they have redefined them, like grace, born again. They believe that when they were baptized, they were born again. All the original sin was washed away. Oh, sure, I was born again. So you have to redefine all these terms, or as I said, correctly define. They have incorrectly redefined them. So let me read some of the quotes here from this on the Vatican II papers. I quote, Christ the Lord commissioned the apostles to preach to all men that gospel. This commission was faithfully fulfilled by the apostles who, by their oral preaching, okay, they're going to emphasize this, oral. Oral is what you speak. Oral is from the mouth. By their oral preaching, handed on what they had received from the lips of Christ. Now, at first you may say, well, what's wrong with that? The Bible says, preach the word. There's nothing wrong with preaching. But that is why you have to so carefully read what they have written. They said, by their oral preaching, handed on what they had received from the lips of Christ. So they are building a case, and you're going to see this the more we go through tonight, but they're building a case, okay, oral, what is said orally is just as important as what is written down. That is what they're trying to set you up. Okay? So they orally handed on the things which Jesus taught them. Go on here. The commission was fulfilled, too, by those apostles and apostolic men who, under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit, committed the message of salvation to writing. Okay, let me read it again. Because they're contrasting, they're saying, okay, there is the written word of God. But it says, the commission was fulfilled too by those apostles and apostolic men who, under the inspiration of the same Holy Spirit committed the message of salvation to writing. So what they're saying is, and you notice what they put first. It was the oral preaching. And they're going to build a case for oral tradition. They're building a case for the Catholic Church and the priests being able to speak with the same authority as the Bible. I'm not talking about, and they are not talking about quoting the Bible. They're talking about they are speaking with the same apostolic authority, whatever they speak. And of course, we'll eventually talk about the Pope speaking ex cathedra, you know, from his official chair. But they mentioned, first of all, it's the oral preaching that's right, just like the written word of God. So it actually places the oral word before the written word. It actually compares the written word to the oral words, when in fact anything we say ought to be compared to this. Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So they exalt the oral word actually above the written word of God. Let me read a quote on from them. But in order to keep the gospel forever whole, and catch this next word. Let me repeat it again. But in order to keep the gospel forever whole and alive. Okay, they're building a case here. Something is needed to keep the gospel whole. In other words, to make sure nothing is missing. And this other thing is really needed to keep it alive. And here is why I say Catholics and Charismatics blend so well together, because that's exactly what the Charismatics are doing. It's like the Charismatics are saying, you Baptists, you're putting God in a box. You're trying to limit God to this book. This book is so many hundreds of years old. You know, it's kind of stale. It's kind of like when you go to a library and the books haven't been pulled from the shelves in years. What's on top of the books? Dust. You Baptists, you keep always referring to this old book with the dust on it. Listen, you need something living. You need something alive. It's no wonder Catholics and Charismatics get along so well together. That's exactly what the Catholics have said. In order to keep the gospel forever whole and alive within the church, the apostles left the word for their successor? No. The apostles left bishops as their successors. The authority to teach in their own place. This sacred tradition, not this sacred book, the Bible, but this sacred tradition and sacred scripture of both Old and New Testaments are like a mirror. Each time they would put tradition before the Word of God. Tradition first, then the Word of God. So it's like this sacred tradition is needed to keep the gospel whole. It's needed to keep the gospel alive. I mean, you need a fresh word from God. So it's only after they mention tradition that they'll mention the scripture. Now, as I mentioned, the bottom line is they want something fresh. Well, isn't the Bible fresh? Notice with me in Hebrews 4, is the Bible not living? They keep saying this oral tradition is needed to keep the gospel whole and alive. Well, my friends, the Bible is a living book. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Is the Bible a dead book? No way. Just go out on the street corner. You'll find out the Bible is a living book. We could have been down there with a signs with fairy tales. You know, Mary had a little lamb. Any number of foolish little things we could have had on signs down there. And you know what? When people went by, they'd just say, oh, they'd either say, well, isn't that cute or isn't that stupid? You know, one or the other. But they wouldn't have yelled at us. They wouldn't have come out there with their own sign saying, I'm with stupid. You know, they wouldn't have done that. Now, they wouldn't rev their motors and burn out. They wouldn't swear at us. The Bible is quick and powerful. It's alive, and it pierces right down to the divine asunder of soul and spirit. Notice me in Luke 4, Luke chapter 4. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not, what? Live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This is how man lives, by the word of God. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get faith, by the word of God. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1. Is the Bible alive? Is it just a book? You know, these people who have translated these new translations say, well, the Bible's like any other book. You'd have to use the same methods of trying to discern, you know, what is correct and what is incorrect. That is not true. It's a spiritual book and must be compared to spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2 verses 13 and 14, we have to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. 1 Peter 1 verse 23, is the Bible a living book? Do we need oral tradition? Do we need something to keep the gospel alive? 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Did you catch that? Corruptible seed. Corruptible seed. Have you ever planted seed that didn't grow? Then it was corrupted seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. You know what? That is the premise upon which every new translation is made. What do you mean? I mean this. The premise for every new translation is that there's something lacking or wrong in this. If there's nothing wrong or lacking in this, why do a new translation? So the premise upon which every new translation is done is that there's something missing or wrong in this book. So we've got to find. We've got to get back to the pure Word of God. And that's how they disarm people. Well, people, we're just trying to get back to the pure Word of God. I mean, we know He gave it pure. We're just trying to get back there. Well, then that's the premise that this has been corrupted. The Bible says here, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which what? Liveth and abideth forever. Notice that again. Being born again by the word of God which liveth. We don't need oral tradition to keep the gospel alive. We have a living book. It's the Bible. Verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord, what? Endureth forever. Oh, if we just had it. Oh, we know it's out there somewhere. Somewhere in those original manuscripts. Of course, they'd be in a monastery. Of course, they'd be in a Catholic institution somewhere. But it says, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. No, it's not off somewhere in the originals. Peter didn't have the originals. Jeremiah threw some of his originals in the water, and they perished. Some of them were burnt by a king. The originals were gone. It's not possible to have the originals today. Some of them were immediately destroyed. Peter said, you know what? This incorruptible seed, this living word, is what you have right before you, the word of God. So I read on in their quote. And so the apostolic preaching, which is expressed in a special way in the inspired books, was to be preserved by an unending succession of preachers. Do you catch what they're saying? They're saying, oh yeah, God inspired the word, the written word. But the way it's preserved is by an unending succession of preachers. Oral tradition. So their dependence is on, they claim, Peter, through all the popes. That's what they're claiming has preserved the gospel. Well, let's look at Psalm chapter 12. The Bible says God's pure word is preserved in writing. Not just in words, but in writing. The fact of the matter is this. No matter how hard every preacher tries, every preacher is flesh. And you know what that means? Every preacher, sooner or later, is going to make some mistakes, going to say some wrong things. Especially when I began to preach, you're nervous. And your mind is thinking one thing, but you say something else. You teachers know this too. Sometimes, you're thinking one name, but you say the other name. I mean, you may be saying Moses built the ark. Well, he did build an ark, but it was a little smaller than the ark that floated. Sometimes we may be reading scripture and we may miss a word. Our eyes may jump over it, and you say, hey, the preacher just skipped a word in that verse. Every preacher is going to make some mistakes sooner or later. So what the preacher, his oral speaking is not necessarily all inspired of God. In other words, he may say some wrong things. Of course, everything we preach from this book is inspired of God. Every word here is inspired, but as we sang, we are but frail people. We need the Lord moment by moment. Now, but Psalm 12, 6 and 7, we do have something sure. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. It's the word of God. It's the written word of God that is preserved. What people say might be correct or it might be incorrect. And that's why we've looked at many times, Acts 17:11, everything you hear, you need to check out. That's why we encourage you, read through the Bible. Be a daily Bible reader. Read through the Bible every year. If you can read through it more often, do it. That is what will keep you from believing error. Keep reading through the Bible. So the Catholic Church claims that oral tradition is preserved by an unending succession of preachers. Now, what's extremely hard to believe about that in a Catholic church, let alone a Baptist church, is this. Have the priests been faithful? Think of all the scandals in recent years. Some Catholic, I don't know what they call them offhand, but anyway, they call certain areas that have a certain term to it, and some of them have gone bankrupt because they've had to lay out so much money because of the priests committing sodomy and immorality with the people who come to them for confession. We're not talking about a small matter here. We're talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of priests have been found guilty. And the Catholic Church has doled out millions and millions and millions of dollars to pay off these people, as if that could pay them off anyway. How could you anyone honestly put confidence in the priests to faithfully hand down anything from God. How could you? It's like when I was in school, they did a little test. And we were all in our seats, all in our desk, and the teacher whispered something to the first student and then wanted that student to tell it to the next student. So it went all the way through the class till the end. And at the end, it was nothing like at the beginning. Well, why would it be any different with the priest? They are thoroughly corrupted. They have put upon the priest something which God did not demand of the priest. A preacher can marry or doesn't have to marry. It's like Paul. Sometimes people write in and say, does a preacher or a deacon have to be married? You know, it says, you know, to be the husband of one wife. Well, compare all the scripture. If you're going to say every preacher, every evangelist, and every deacon have to be married, then you have a problem with Paul because he wasn't married. The point is if they are married, it has to meet these certain qualifications. But they put upon the priest that they can't marry. And because of it, they are such an immoral lot for the most part. So another quote from him. Now, what was handed on by the apostles includes everything which contributes toward the holiness of life and increases in faith of the people of God. And so the church in her teaching, life, and worship perpetuates and hands on to all generations all that she herself is, all that she believes. So once again, the church handed on by the apostles, not by the Bible, but by the apostles. And it includes everything which contributes toward the holiness of life and increases in faith. We just made a reference to Romans 10:17. From where does faith come? The Bible. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what? We can walk into someone that's sick, and we can say, hang in there. I know everything's going to work out okay. What does that mean? Nothing. Hang in there. Keep a stiff upper lip. You know? Where's that smile? Well, I mean, we should smile. But you know what? Our strength is in the Lord, not in ourselves. Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. They say that it's oral tradition which contributes toward the holiness of life and increases in faith and includes everything the church needs. Oral tradition is everything the church needs. Everything the priest says is all I need. Afraid not. 2 Timothy 3:15. 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the oral tradition of the priest. And that from a child thou hast known the what? The Holy Scriptures. We're talking about the written word, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect. What's the next two words? Throughly furnished unto all good works. The Catholic, that statement I just read, contradicts what this just says. The Bible says it's the written word, the Scripture, that will thoroughly furnish us unto all good works. The quote I just read you from the Catholic Church said, now what was handed down by the apostles includes everything which contributes toward the holiness of life and increases in faith. This oral tradition is everything you need, they say. That's exactly the opposite of what the Bible says, the exact opposite. Faith doesn't come by what man says. Faith comes by what God says. I read on their quote. This tradition, which comes from the apostles, develops in the church with the help of the Holy Spirit. For there is a growth in the understanding of the realities and the words which have been handed down. Did you catch one word which is dangerous? Well, there's more than one dangerous word there, but this tradition which comes from the apostles develops in the church. Of course, it's with the help of the Holy Spirit. Develops? Develop means to create or produce, especially by deliberate effort over time. Develop means to expand by a process of growth, to cause to grow and differentiate. It says, develop means to become infected or affected. That's by Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. Did you catch that? They said oral tradition develops in the church. Now you know why it's okay for the Catholic Church to keep changing. They didn't start out saying that Mary was conceived like the Lord Jesus. You know, at first it was, well, yes, the Lord Jesus was miraculously conceived. But then what they did is they exalted Mary to be the mother of God. Well, what are we going to do about this? If Mary is really the mother of God, if she's not just the mother of his earthly flesh, if she's the mother of God, remember Isaiah 9:6, the Son is given. The child is born, but the Son is given. But they make her out to be the mother of God. So then they had to think, you know what? She can't really be the mother of God unless she was miraculously conceived too. So along the line, they added that doctrine. And you know what? To them, that's okay because, as I just gave you this quote, it's okay in their eyes for tradition to develop. That's just the Holy Spirit watering tradition, and it grows. My folks had, years ago, had a banana tree or a banana plant. And guess what? It grew. You water it, it grows. They're big. Well, you know what? You water false doctrine and it grows too. And that's exactly what happened to oral tradition. There are many things that have changed about the Catholic Church from their beginning. That's okay to them. That's okay, but it's not okay. As the definition stated, it becomes infected, no doubt. So that's the opposite of what the Bible says. You see, they are allowing for addition to the Word of God. They are allowing for addition to their own tradition. And that's why I say charismatic, Catholic, so easily meld together, because the charismatics say, yes, you need a new word from God. You need something fresh from God. You can't just stick by this. That's why they get along so well. They actually believe many of the same things. Notice in Revelation 22, the Bible, though, says no. You don't add to what God has written down. You don't add to it, you don't subtract from it. That's not the Holy Spirit watering truth and it developing. That's the devil adding not only tares to the church, but tares to the Word of God. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall what? Add unto these things, God shall add unto him the what? The plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall what? Take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the what? Book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The bottom line is anyone who would dare to take away from God's word is not saved. You may say, but the translators were good men of these modern versions. Well, you know what? There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is no such thing as a good man who would take away from God's word. No such thing. Based upon the Word of God, that person is not saved. Anyone who would dare take away. I mean, it's like, what if your parents had $100 laying on their dresser? Would you dare take that $100? No way. Why? Well, it's the fear of God and the fear of your parents. You know, not everyone walks through your house. And it's really not that hard for them to figure out who took it. If we would fear our parents in that regard, how much more so should we fear God, not to dare to take away from His precious word? Let me continue reading on there. This tradition, which comes from the apostles, develops in the church with the help of the Holy Spirit, for there is a growth in the understanding of the realities and words which have been handed down. This happens through the contemplation and study made by believers who treasure these things in their hearts. Stop and think what they're saying. They're saying, people, do you want to grow as a believer? Then you need to meditate upon this oral tradition, what the priest tells you. Because this is what will give you growth and understanding. It says this happens through the contemplation and study made by believers who treasure these things in their hearts. You know what? We can only have one master, Matthew 6. Where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. And what you see is the more you read, this oral tradition is the treasure. The Bible is kind of a side thing. And so you contemplate on the treasure, on oral tradition. It's the same thing the Mormons. The Mormons claim to believe the Bible. But the Bible is not their treasure. The Mormon boys were honest with me. They said, we believe there are mistakes in the Bible. But they say the Book of Mormon, there's not, because, and this is the whole clue. How could you have the NIV or New King James or any of the new translations and talk to the Mormons? Because this is what they said to me this summer, last summer. They said, there's been errors in translation in the Bible. But in the Book of Mormon, it was given to us in English. So there's no translation problems. We can be entirely confident in the Book of Mormon. I thought, well, that sure is funny because Joseph Smith claimed to translate the Book of Mormon from some golden plates with some special glasses. One of my grandsons had on some special glasses the other night. Big sunglasses at a gathering. I don't know if Joseph Smith's were quite like that, but probably were. But that's exactly what those Mormon boys told me. Oh, we have confidence in the Book of Mormon because it hasn't been translated like the King James Bible's been translated. How would you be an NIVer or a New King Jameser and argue with them? You couldn't. Because those churches believe the same thing. They believe there were errors in translation. So you'd have to say, well, sorry, Mormon boys, but I guess you got me there. Maybe you're not so bad after all. I tell you, it doesn't surprise me when a church changes to the NIV or the New King James or any of these modern translations, it doesn't surprise me they come up with new ways to get people into the church other than going door to door and what they call confrontational witnessing. They're always against confrontational witnessing. I mean, face to face with someone else, asking them about the Lord. Why? Because they're playing Russian roulette. We saw in the NIV, you go to fire of the weapon. I mean, the Bible is our sword. It's our gun. But we saw in the NIV, the verse is taken right out. They're gone. I mean, how are you going to fight the enemy when you go to fire and click? Oh, whoops. I guess that bullet, I guess that verse is gone. Well, you got me there. Yeah, I got you there. So they say this happens through the contemplation and study made by believers who treasure these things in their hearts through a penetrating understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. Listen, the more you read, the more you understand. Charismatic, Catholic, they're one and the same. The charismatics are doing nothing but pulling together a great host for the mother church, just exactly what was prayed earlier. The charismatics are the glue that's going to hold together the one world false church, the harlot of the book of Revelation, who is filthy rich with her gold and her silver and has corrupted people through the centuries. So through a penetrating understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. And then it says, through the preaching of those who have received through episcopal succession the sure gift of truth. What? They're saying that the sure gift of truth is what the priests speak. When the Bible tells us that the sure thing is the Word of God. The sure thing. In fact, let's go. In our Bibles here, to First or Second Peter chapter 1. Let's see what's really sure. Peter had it all. Peter heard. He had his experiences, and they were true experiences. But he lets us know that there's something more sure than experiences. The Catholic Church was just saying, the sure word is from the priest in this oral tradition. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a what? More sure word of prophecy. Well, what is it, Peter? Well, he says, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star rise in your heart. Okay, Peter, what is it? He'll tell you. Verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the what? Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. The more sure word is the Scripture because it's not of any private interpretation. Maybe last night I had a dream. And maybe my dream was that we should build a building like they have in Lynchburg, Virginia. 1 million square feet. Their complex now is 1 million square feet. That's just a little bit bigger than this building. 1 million square feet. And you may say, preacher, but I don't think we quite need that much room. Oh, no. God gave me a vision. You know, hey, doesn't the Bible say, you know, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes? Yeah, you won't be eating steak when you try to pay for that building, that's for sure. Amen. No, you have no way to check out. You may say, preacher, did you eat too much pizza last night? You know, what caused you to have such a dream anyway? Well, in the Catholic Church, you know, I talked to a young Catholic man some years ago, and he actually listened. But the bottom line was this. He said, you know what? I can't rightly understand the Bible, he said. I need the priest to tell me what it means. And that's exactly what they're taught. You may say, but since Vatican II, they're encouraged to read the Bible. Well, you know what? It's only what the priests say it means. You know, there's many cults that claim to believe the Bible. We just mentioned two of them, the Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. They all claim to believe the Bible. They all do. So the experience, the personal experiences, through a penetrating understanding of the spiritual realities which they experience. They're looking for spiritual reality in their experiences. That's why a painting of Jesus cries. Water is coming out of one of their eyes. What do the Catholics do? They make a shrine out of it. They go and pray before it. That's exactly what they're taught. They're taught to find spiritual realities out of their experiences like this. And you can only know it through oral tradition. That's why when somebody fries their taco shell and they flip it over, it's the picture of the crucified Jesus. Get that thing out of there. Don't eat it. This is a holy taco shell. Look at it. It's the face of Jesus. This is holy. Let's put it on eBay and let's sell it for $1 million. This is a holy shrine. And so people bid that thing up. This is from God. This taco shell. In fact, maybe you better put the frying pan that fried it on eBay too. Maybe the olive oil too, you know? And we laugh at those things, but the Catholics don't. It's serious to them. That's because that's what they're taught. These are holy relics. These are sacred things to them. And they would say, well, you Baptists, you don't understand because you don't believe in this oral tradition. You don't believe that what the priest says is from God. So they'll say, you just don't understand because you don't treasure these like we do. Well, Lord willing, we're going to come back to this, but in closing tonight, let's turn to Acts 17. There's much more, but we better close for now. But Acts 17, listen. Any group that says you can't understand the Bible apart from what they say or some other book that they have written, mark it down. That's a cult. That's a cult. And listen to me. We are called by some in the NIV and the New King James crowd. We are called by them cultish. We are called by some of them. Oh, so you're part of that King James cult. Listen, stop and think. Who is cultish? Cults follow man, not the Bible, not solely the Bible. Do you realize the charismatics in that regard would be cultish? They do not follow this book solely. And you may say, wait a minute. You're calling the charismatics a cult? Well, you know what? You can define cult any way you want, but you know what? I define cult as any religious group that deceives people and they end up in hell. And we just read Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Those are the exact three things that the charismatics emphasize. That is their lives. Prophesying, speaking in tongues, casting out demons, everything becomes a demon. If you overeat, it's the demon of gluttony. If you lust after immorality, that's a demon. If you're greedy, that's a demon. It makes it really impressive on their resume because, you know, hey, they casted out so many demons this week. Everything's a demon. The bottom line is, the Bible says many of those going after those three things. Jesus is going to say, I never knew you. So yes, on the basis of that, on the basis of the Word of God, Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Yes, I would say many of those charismatic groups are a cult because that's exactly, they're leading people the wrong way. They're giving them a false hope. But Acts 17, 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the what? The scriptures daily. And what are the last five words? Wait a minute. Whose preaching were they checking out? I mean, who are we talking about here? Verse 4? Paul and Silas? Wait a minute. What do you mean? Paul is preaching to these people and Silas? And verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Wait a minute. By searching whether those things were so, aren't you questioning the great Apostle Paul and Silas, his faithful helper? From what we have, well, the quotes I've given you tonight, you don't do that in the Catholic Church. You don't question this apostolic succession. Paul was an apostle. The Catholic teaching goes exactly against Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11 says, check out everything you hear according to the Scriptures. They search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Yes, even those things which Paul said, they searched them out, whether the Scriptures back that up. Whether those things were so. That's exactly the opposite of what the Catholic Church teaches. Well, there's much more to cover, and we'll try to cover it another time, but it just goes back to, it's so important that we read the Bible every day, all of us. If we don't, you know, sometimes people watch religious movies, religious videos. I don't think I've ever seen a religious video that's been without error. I don't recall one. And the sad thing is that what you see in picture form, you often remember more than what you read. And that's why it's so important to keep reading the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Jesus could have left us a picture book, the most beautiful picture book in the world, but he didn't. He left us a book of writing. Well, we'll come back to it, Lord willing. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. Lord, help us to realize it is the more sure word, the Scriptures. And Lord, help us not to be led away with the error of the wicked. Lord, help us not to be led away with the Catholic Church. Father, help us to realize this error. They have placed something on the same level as the Word of God, as we'll see next time, Lord willing. And how you tell us, don't ever do that. So, Father, work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be in the Word of God this week, every one of us, reading it, studying it, meditating upon it. Lord, may it be our treasure. Not any other book, not any other book about the Bible, but may the Bible itself be our treasure this week. In Jesus' name, amen.